Next, we'll hear from Justice Harry Hall with regards to the Superior Court of Nevada.
Good morning again. Thank you, Justice Miller, Chief. On the 26th of February, I was able to visit the Nevada County Superior Court and had very pleasant discussions with the Honorable Candace Heidelberger, the presiding judge, and Mr. Sean Matroka, the court executive officer. You'll recall that Mr. Matroka was with us at our February meeting to discuss the audit findings relating to the Nevada County Superior Court. I also met briefly with Judge Thomas Anderson. Nevada County Superior Court is a six-judge, one full-time commissioner court, having two court locations, the main court in Nevada City and a branch court in Truckee. Currently, there are no court closures, although the time the courts are open has been reduced from 9 to 8 hours a day. It has a 0.6 commissioner vacancy, sharing its commissioner as it does with Sierra County. The court used the assigned judges program for 134 days in 2013-2014 and has used the program for 58 days thus far this calendar year. For this fiscal year, the court will realize revenue in the amount of approximately $6,900,000 and have expenditures in the amount of $6,600,000, leaving a projected fund balance at the end of the year of $261,000 approximately. While this is lean, to say the least, I would note that the court ran a deficit of approximately $393,000 in fiscal year 2012-2013 and $133,000 deficit in 2013-2014. Plainly avoiding a deficit this year, I think, is quite impressive. The court currently has 56 and a quarter regular staff as compared to 58.1 last year, and 3 temporary staff and 11.9 vacancies. Court contracts for entrance screening, janitorial services, court reporter overflow, and guardianship and conservatorship investigations. In 2012-2013, the court had 1,831 civil filings, which included family law and probate filings, 17,936 criminal filings, which included traffic citations, 873 family law filings, which included dependency and delinquency, and 157 probate, mental health, and appeals filings for a total of 20,797 filings. The number of filings are down in each of these categories over 2011-2012. The court was able to dispose of 1,661 civil matters, 10,490 criminal matters, 619 family law matters, and 79 probate and mental health appeals for a total dispositions of 12,849. Getting beyond the statistics, the court has been able to realize a number of successes this year, which I'd like to report to you. As noted, the court has been successful at keeping both of its court locations open during the ongoing fiscal crisis, although it has reduced its hours of operation, as I said, from 9 to 8 hours. Nevada County is the first, and so far, I believe, the only county to fully implement what has been become known as Laura's Law, with which I was not familiar, frankly, when we began talking about it. For those of you who are not familiar with it, basically Laura's Law passed in 2002 and was named after a 19-year-old Nevada County mental health worker who was killed by a man who had refused psychiatric treatment, and the law allows for court-ordered assisted outpatient treatment. To qualify for the program, a person in question must have a serious mental illness plus a recent history of psychiatric hospitalizations, jailings, or acts. Threats or attempts of serious violent behavior towards himself or herself or others, and the court makes certain findings. It can order multidisciplinary teams of highly trained mental health professionals with staff-to-client ratios of not more than 1 to 10. The statute can only be used in counties that choose to enact outpatient commitment programs based on the measure. In 2010, the California State Association of Counties chose Nevada County to receive its Challenge Award for implementing Laura's Law. Subsequently, in 2011, the National Association of Counties Achievement Award in Health was awarded to Nevada County for the Assisted Outpatient Treatment Program. In addition to this, Nevada County has organized a collaboration between its Public Law Center, its Self-Help Center, which does not include family law, and the County Law Library. It has achieved a process for addressing veterans' difficulties in criminal cases, although it does not have a dedicated veterans court because there are not enough cases to sustain a dedicated calendar. I'd like to note in passing that while the entire court is dedicated to this veterans program, it is of particular significance to the court executive officer, Mr. Matroka, who is a Marine who served two tours of duty in the Middle East and has particular insights into the troubles that veterans can encounter after they come home. The court also hosts an annual fifth grade law day in collaboration with county schools, where it brings in between 500 and 600 students and sometimes up to 1,000 students for mock trials and a tour of the old jail, and has organized an 8th grade and 12th grade peer court. Nevada County reports that its relationships with all justice partners are, quote, generally reasonable and effective. Challenges facing Nevada County: the main courthouse, as with many rural counties, the main courthouse is old and has been the subject of renovations and add-ons over the years. I have just a handful of pictures that I'll show to make some of these points in a moment. Built in 1864 and remodeled in 1900 and again in 1936, and finally in the 1960s, through no fault of the courts, it's something of a hodgepodge of space that has come into being through that construction history and has been used for a number of county purposes over the years. While there has been some discussion regarding the construction of a new courthouse, that project is currently on indefinite hold. The court's primary concern for the facility are significant security deficiencies relating to in-custody defendants, open clerk's counters, courtroom and jury security, and lack of space, as you'll see momentarily. There is no jury assembly room and no lobby to speak of. On the heading of budget impacts, the court has undergone restructuring in order to operationalize impacts with limited success, including furloughing employees 104 hours per year for 2.5 years. Although none are currently furloughed, it has reduced staff from 76 in 2007 to 56.5 in 2013, reduced self-help services by 25% in 2014, and endured a significant backlog in all operations departments, including accounting and records management. Under the subject of case management, the court implemented a new case management system in April 2013, known as CourtView. Only Nevada County and Amador County use it, and it seems to be working well enough at the moment, although there are some difficulties and a need for enhancements. The court is unable to switch to Tyler because of the staff learning costs that would entail. The court's cash flow problems continue and will continue to get worse unless the 1% fund balance cap is raised. The court anticipates having to ask for cash advances this year. As to the morale of the staff, it's a difficult period for them, as all courts. They've experienced and are experiencing staff morale having been negatively affected, but they seem to be keeping it together at the moment. Waltham, curiously, I thought Nevada County is a donor court, but the funding has been reduced under the formula by less than 1%. As to Prop 47 workload, as of the time of my visit, the court did not report any significant Proposition 47 caseload. I want to note also that the court reported good relations with the Judicial Council staff and complimented the Human Resources Division and the Legal Services Office in particular. In summary, I very much enjoyed my visit to Nevada County, and in my estimation, it's a well-run and innovative court that has been coping admirably with all of the difficulties our courts have faced over the last few years. And again, I have just a few pictures to demonstrate some of what I've reported if I have mastered the technology. I'd like to thank Christina Foti for helping me with this. If she's here, I appreciate it very much. We'll see what we have. This is a picture of the lobby of the courthouse, the entryway, the screening. As you can see, it's very close. And if there are more than a couple of people going through screening at any given time, the rest are standing outside in either very warm or in inclement weather. This is part of the clerk's office. As you can see, it's an open space, and the workload is piling up. Again, the open counters, which is of concern to the court because of security measures. This is simply a shot down sort of a close hallway that was, there's files back there, but it was a throwback to days when the building was used for other, in addition to the court services, other court services. Simply an indication that due to budget cuts, they're restricting hours for family law facilitators. This, where the three people are standing, the attorneys, is the entrance to the one courtroom on the main floor. And as you can see, there is no space for attorney conferences. I have a couple of more pictures. Everybody has to sit out in the hall and confer in the hall, including parties, witnesses. A shot down that into that same area, you can see how close it is and how little space there is for any activity that's going on in the courtroom. This is another picture in that direction. I didn't mean to take a picture of those two ladies. They appeared out of nowhere, but I did want to note, and it's hard to see. I did. It's hard to see in this picture, but right about where the sunshine begins there, the floor slopes down substantially, and that is a function of the fact of all the add-ons and reconstruction over the years, and the result of that is that every time it rains, that hallway floods. This is the infamous safe we heard about during the audit discussion in February that the court was, it was noted, was not changing the combination of that safe frequently enough, as I recall. You can see the age of the safe, and I believe Mr. Matroka told me that to have someone come in and change the combination is about $300 per event. Just an indication of other other uses of the courthouse that they're working around. This is a hallway down into an area of space that used to be the DA's offices that they'd very much like to put to use, but it simply is unsafe in the back of the building at this point. Just a shot of the unused space and the age of it. This is the IT department, and that is the IT manager. He's it. And just the rest of the IT department, which is used for storage. That completes the photographs and completes my report, Chief. I'd be glad to answer any questions. I enjoyed the visit very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Justice Hall.